Genesis 35:9, we're dealing with the seventh encounter that Jacob has with God. So reading out of the Amplified, Genesis 35, verse 9 through 15. And God, in a distinctly visible manifestation, says the Amplified, appeared to Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and declared a blessing on him. That was referring to Genesis 32, 28. Again, God said to him, your name is Jacob, supplanter, but shall not be called Jacob any longer, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel, one who was victorious in wrestling with God, contender with God. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. And a nation and a company of nations, very clearly it says, shall come from you, and kings shall be born of you, or of your stock, it says in the Amplified, of your seed, in others. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you, and to your descendants after you, I will give the land. Then God ascended from him in the place where he talked with him, and Jacob set up a pillar monument in the place where he talked with God, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of the place where God had talked with him, Bethel. Now, you will remember, taking you back just to the last session, you remember we talked about the altar that God had asked Jacob to go back to Bethel to build. And he built that altar that he gave the name of El Bethel, which he had a revelation from God that was a very important revelation. And we looked into the meaning of it and the purpose of it as to why God had him rebuild an altar that was already at one time built there. The reason God wanted him to do this is because he had to get a focus on the God of the house and not the house of God, that God wanted to be first in his life. And I think the Lord contends with all of us throughout life that our loyalties be with him and not with pastors and people and churches, and that our loyalties be to continue to him. And you know, if our loyalties are with him, if we have disagreements with pastors, or we have problems with pastors, or we have issues with people in authority, whatever the case might be, you will never be leaving that church, because your loyalties are to God and he placed you there. When our loyalties are to pastors, if we have a fallout with pastors, then we leave the pastor's work. And if our fallout is with our husband, we just leave them. If our fallout is with our wife, we just leave and abandon them. If our fallout is with our fathers, we just leave home. If we are going to live in a natural way, in a natural house, and be in the house of God as members of a house of God, but don't have God as the house that we are a member of, then we can escape that. David said, where can I go from the presence of the Lord? If he's first in my life and I'm serving him and following him and doing what he wants me to do, where can I go from his presence? If his presence stays in a certain place and I don't like it anymore, but his presence stayed, I got to stay there. And when the glory of the Lord lifts and moves, we've got to move with the glory of the Lord. If he's through with this church, then you've got to move on with God, and you've got to go wherever the glory of the Lord leads. But I can assure you that if the glory of God is through with this house, I'll be the first one to leave. Amen, because I'm going to follow the cloud. My loyalty isn't to you. My loyalty is to the Lord, and you need to know that, and don't be offended or hurt by that. I am not hurt or offended by the fact that your loyalty is to God, and that your purpose of living in this world is to God, and that the reason why you come here, because that's what he wants you to do, and you will be here faithful to your service to him until he calls you, or until the presence of God moves for you away from here. Because you know, there are a lot of people in our church and the presence of the Lord comes down, but others he leaves out. Have you noticed that? Some people are just like water off a duck's back. You know, God comes into the atmosphere, but they're just not connecting. When that happens about so long, then they realize that the glory cloud that's over them has lifted. So they need to find, no one can live far away from God. No one can live disconnected from God. So they're going to have to find a place where they can connect up again, and God will lead them to that place. And that's how God removes people from a church or from a group, because the glory of the Lord gets cut off from you. You know, you want to connect, you try to praise like the rest of them, you try to pray and nothing happens. There's just no connection. And after a while, it's like, Lord, I'm dying here. And so they start looking elsewhere, and suddenly they'll go to a place and God will connect with them there and let them know that's the place he wants them. Because God moves his people around from pasture to pasture, from place to place. And you have to understand that God gives every ministry, and you need to listen to this because this is a word of the Spirit to you. God gives every ministry a specialty, and we call those a vision. and a purpose. And when God is through developing you in the purpose that that ministry has, He's going to move you on. That particular ministry has to stay in that because that's what He is there to birth sons and daughters into that vision so that they're fully developed and trained into that area. Some God will leave in that church together with that ministry and form a body of people surrounding Him because those will be the leaders that support that vision and make it all happen. But aside from that, God will take people out and move them in. And we shouldn't worry about things like this because God lifts the spirit off of individuals like He can off of a church. And I just pray that the day will never come that God will lift the spirit off of our church. But if He has other plans, you know, and He wants to do other things, He will do that. God, if He wants to scatter a people because He's given us His light, He's given us His presence, He's given us His glory, and we're all confining it to ourselves and it's not going out of the doors, well, then God's going to scatter. And when God scatters, it's to put you in different places where you can shine as a light and let the glory of the Lord start in those areas. And He spreads you as seed so that you can grow up and begin to multiply in the area where He sends you to and be a blessing to those people in that church where He sends you to. Just realize that you're always in the hands of God. And if you've ever gotten to the place, if God has ever taken you to the place where you've built this altar that Jacob built, which is the altar of the God of the house of God, El Bethel, then you will realize that He'll always be there for you and you will always be there for Him. But the place where you will live will change. And Jacob lived in many different places, but God was always with him wherever he went. And so that's the important part because your life and God's is married, as it were, together. You're not married to a church. You're not married to a pastor. However, you are called upon to be faithful and to stay where you are until God moves you. Amen. And I have a feeling that God will let your pastor and your covering know when it's God's turn for you to leave. And God can remove you by death. God can remove you by squabbles. God can remove you by just feeling empty and cutting off His spirit from you there and opening it up somewhere else. That's just God calling you somewhere else. Don't feel bad about this. Always follow God. Always keep Him first in your life. Always realize that He is the priority. You are married to Him. Your loyalty is to Him and not to us as pastors and not to us as people. We'll love you. We accept your love. And if you leave on a dime, we'll continue to love you. But you please understand that we're not in enmity with the body of Christ. We are one body, one spirit, called and baptized into one blood baptism and into one baptism of faith. And so we have one Holy Spirit and we have one God. I believe that every Christian should build Jacob's altar of El Bethel. This is just a recap and maybe to put a little cherry on the top of it so that we can move on. But after he builds this altar before God, he moves just a little distance away. And remember, this had been a place where God was. It was a place of open heavens. That's why he names this place Bethel. Some people are confused as to whether it was El Bethel or Bethel. The place was Bethel. The altar was El Bethel. El Bethel was in Bethel. The reason he called it Bethel is because God was there. Every time he went there, God was there. God appeared to him. God came to him. Now, the first time God came to him in a dream, that means that his consciousness was disconnected and God spoke to him that way. The reason God spoke to him is because he wasn't developed enough for God to come to him the other way. This is a generation of three people that had a tremendous privilege given to them by God. And I'd like to just stop here for just a few moments today and be able to share with you the importance of this word, and the Lord appeared unto Jacob. Because it's not too many people on the earth that God physically and literally appears to, and appears to in person. He can take on any form he wants to, or he can come in the form of his body. And I believe that the Lord Jesus will come in his body. I believe he came in a form of angels or a form of whatever, but remember that when he came to Abraham, the grandfather of Jacob, that Abraham prepared him a meal and they sat down and they ate. And then when the angels left him to go to Sodom to see what was going on down there, whether it was according to the cry that was coming up from the angels that were upon that city and responsible over that city, the cry of justice before God, he sent a couple angels into that. And remember that Lot saw the angels physically like human beings. They grabbed him by the hand and pulled him out. They weren't a figment of his imagination. Abraham saw them and Lot saw them. And the whole family of Lot saw them, and they were there. And not only that, but the wicked saw them and were rendered blind because of the terrible lust and sodomy on their minds and hearts. And so you have to understand, God appears in a real way. He says, we need to be really careful sometimes because we may be entertaining angels unaware because all you think is just a person on the street that was just kind to you or just changed the tire for you on the road or did whatever, and we just, you know, think nothing of it. Thank you, sir. That was such a nice thing. Well, that was an angel. After you get out of his presence, they're gone. But they're gone completely out of this world. I believe that we have, on many occasions of our life, been in the presence of angels that were in human form, and we had no idea that they were there to minister to us in some way or another. Many times they'll come to us in our sleep. Sometimes they'll come to us as open visions. You can see them. Some have the capacity to see more than others, built into them, into their genetics, and so they are allowed to see into the spirit world more than others. But the Lord appearing is a wonderful thing, a very beautiful thing. Jacob had already had, in the opportunity of his life, the moments where the angels came out to meet him, but they were human beings. When they came out to him, they talked with him, they encouraged him, and they went on and spoke to Esau. And that's, I believe, whatever was said between these men and Esau, I think that's what turned the heart of Esau around, so that when he came to his brother, it was all right with him. Do you remember the Lord appeared to... I'm saying these things because sometimes we think that the high, the holy, and the mighty are the only people to see God. I want you to see that Lot saw God and the wicked saw the Lord, the angels of the Lord physically. And Esau, as much as rejected by God and as other prophets would say hated by God or whatever, if you stop and think of it, the angels of the Lord went to minister to him because he had a lot of pain in his heart toward his brother who had stolen the birthright from him. He didn't understand why. He didn't understand why he was rejected and his brother accepted. There was a lot of pain there. And the angels went and ministered to him. And he, even Esau, was able to see, physically see them. And they appeared to him and spoke with him. And out of that relationship, out of that conversation, out of that time of fellowship, on the next encounter that Esau, who wanted to kill Jacob, had with Jacob, they were the best of friends. And so I believe that angels do this. I believe that angels showed up. Now, I doubt that Esau knew that they were angels. I just think that he thought that they were servants from the camp of Jacob that had come before him to speak to him about how it really is, and that he wanted to make things right. He wanted to be in fellowship again, and whatever differences there were, he wanted to put him down. Esau had to realize that the one that God had chosen to be the progenitor of the 12 tribes of Israel was Jacob and not him. And you have to understand also the divine assignments of God no one can know. They're in his absolute wisdom. If you have been called upon to be a child of God, you ought to rejoice greater than any creature on the face of this earth. The fact that you're in church, the fact that you love the Lord, the fact that you've been given to become part of the body of Christ in whatever church that is around the world, the fact that you love God, the fact that you have been counted worthy to be given an inheritance that's glorious and eternal in heaven and then again on earth. The fact that God chose you before the foundations of the earth to be one of his children, and that God counted you worthy to not leave you with a hardened heart, a heart of unbelief, a heart of skepticism, and a heart of this hardened in rebellion, so that you would never accept Jesus and never become part of God. We don't know why God does things like this and why he does others, other than the fact that God has his children and other children aren't his. There are some things we don't understand, and you have to leave those to God. There's one little thought I want to interject in your heart, if you would allow me today, and that's the prayer of Jesus. It said, Father, none of those that thou hast given me have I lost. None of them. None of them that thou hast given me have I lost. And there are other things in the scriptures that suggest that all those that are God's will be God's. At some point in their life, they will get to know God because they came from him. And their spirit goes back to him who gave it, to the one that's the father of the spirits of light. I guess what I'm trying to say to you is that all those that have the spirit of God in them and were created as children of God on earth, it didn't matter who your father was, who your mother was, genetically, there's a contact that goes back with your spirit back to heaven. But there are other people on this earth, without getting into this any further than I have in the past, that have a different origin. They didn't come from God. And those that didn't come from God, he doesn't allow them to come to God. He puts a barrier in their way. They don't belong to him. And Esau and Jacob are a picture of this. I didn't say they were this. I said they were a picture of this. They're a type of this, of how God did not allow anyone from the seed of Esau. On the contrary, his grandson, Amalek, became one of the greatest enemies of Israel later on and still to this day. And so you have to know, God wants you to know, that when God doesn't choose a seed, it's because he knows there's something there that's not his, and it never will be his, and it will always be an enmity against him. The same is that although Abraham's natural genetics was in Ishmael, God found no connection there. He said, he won't inherit. That doesn't come from me. The origin in that man. And they've been a pain in their back, a thorn in their flesh ever since, and still are. God's people are God's people by origin all the way back to God. Now, I'm not talking pre-existence here. I'm not saying that like Jesus, we used to exist and now come down to earth and had an earthly body like Jesus. No, he's the only pre-incarnate, pre-existent one that God gave a body to and was existent at the creation of the earth and will be forever. That's a different story. But we came out from God. God brought us forth as little lights out of his spirit, like little spirits. And we were put into a body on earth, and God knew what genetics were in that body. And God chose those that would be his by putting his spirit in them. And each one of us have been blessed by being one of those, because when you were illuminated with the gospel, you didn't reject it. Your heart wasn't hard. It doesn't matter how much you say to some people, they just don't get it, don't want it, and will never get it. You say, well, God is so cruel, some people are going to hell. The Bible says very clearly in the Psalms that the Spirit goes back to the one who gave it. God gave you your Spirit. Where is it going? Back to God. Devil gave you his Spirit. Where is it going? Back to where he got. Back to where you got it. I think sometimes we cease. We don't think of this often enough, because if it does, it should make us shout his praise. Because what did you have to do that the Spirit of the Lord, that out from the Spirit of the Lord, you should have been one of these creations here on earth? Instead of a horse, you're a mule. You know, instead of a dog, you're a wolf. Who chose that for you? God chose you. He wanted you. He looked around, and sometimes God puts his own spirit in people that were brought forth in prison out of situations that you say, this cannot be God. If this was God, those two wouldn't have gotten together. This came out of incest. This came out of whatever. And you can say whatever you want to say, but God is God and can put his own self in whatever he wants to do. And after that, he claims it for himself because it's his. And at some point of your life, he's going to soften your heart and give you a heart to want God and to give yourself to God. And I praise God that I'm one of those. And God appeared to Jacob. There's nothing on record that he appeared to Esau, but he appeared to Jacob. There's a marvelous thing here. God knows those are his. He makes a distinction between his children and the others. It doesn't have to do with nations. Now it's no longer between Israel and all the infidels. Now it has to do with those who have the Spirit of God in them, that calls to God, to be connected to God, to be his. We should never worry about people that leave a church or join another. They're still in God's body. They're still his. They were given God's Spirit. They still love the Lord. They still want the Lord, and they will go on to develop with the Lord. They just won't go on in this portion of God's developing vision. They won't go on with what the Lord has for them here. So don't pine away and don't grieve, but allow the Holy Spirit to let you pine after him and to be focused on him. And so the Lord appeared unto Jacob. And I just want to bring out the fact that God will appear to all those that are his. Jacob was of a family whom God had literally and physically appeared to grandfather Abraham, his father Isaac, and to himself. That is a marvelous thing. And all through history, for God's people, he has appeared to them. Now you say, well, if God's appeared to me, I don't know what he might have looked like, because maybe he's come to me and I didn't know it. Well, there's a lot of people that he comes to and they don't know it. And then there's some that he comes to and he allows you to know that he's there. I'm talking about physically. I'm talking about appearing to them. Either way, God comes to us. This morning, he was here for us. And many were able to make that contact and were able to be brought into the Spirit of the Lord one more time. And I think what it does is when the Spirit of the Lord comes in us and connects with heaven from within us, I think it's just like these planes that fuel in midair. There's a connection that takes place and there's a download. And that's when you're washed, you're renewed, your instructions are given to you. And you don't know that. You're just there worshiping and loving the Lord and just wide open to God. But while your spirit's wide open, you're downloading. And God is fixing stuff inside of you. He's correcting other things that aren't right. He's giving new instructions into your computer. And then he leaves and you just find yourself doing things you don't know why. And so this is God. This is God renewing you day by day. And we need that renewing of the Holy Spirit. So thank God that he appears and that he appeared to Jacob, because that is a tremendous thing. I'd like to connect two things here with you. It says, and God appeared to Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and declared a blessing on him. God appeared and declared a blessing. God appeared and declared a blessing. Those two are connected. God is not the author of curses. He's the author of blessing. God said, if you'll follow me and allow me to be your God, then you're going to walk under all these blessings. But if you leave me and abandon me and choose not to make me your God, here are the curses that are going to take place. God doesn't put curses on anyone. He's just saying, this is what's going to happen to you, and these are curses. And in the cross of Jesus Christ, he bore all of our curses. All the curses of the world he bore. In fact, he nailed to the cross every ordinance and law that was against us. He nailed to the cross according to Colossians, to the book written to the Colossians. So God declared a blessing on him. I want to just say, or go on record today as saying to all of us, that God today, when you made contact with him, the Spirit of the Lord was here for you, has come to bless you. God left a blessing with you, and a blessing isn't, oh, bless you. No, it's more than that. God left something in you that's alive. He left something in you that's going to be well. He left the medicine in there that's going to work over time. Some are time-release capsules, and they just start working over time to make you whole, to refresh your spirit. And though you've been under oppression or hardship or negativity or whatever has happened, God's going to renew and release you from all of that oppression. You start new another week. That's a great thing. And so Jacob had an encounter with God, a seventh encounter with God, with which he was able to see him openly as a person. Now, this wasn't Jacob's first experience, but it was his first experience in the daylight. His first experience seeing Jesus as a man, seeing Jesus the Lord as a man. And what body he took on, we do not know. He took on a body by faith, because his real body wasn't made until Mary made it. If we stop and think of it, God's appearance to Jacob the first time was in the shadows. So if you go all the way back, you'll see it was in the dream first, totally disconnected, in a dream. The second time, he was connected, but in the twilight. And although he did see his face, it wasn't enough to be able to recall and recognize it. However, when he appeared to him in the day, it's like, oh, hi, Jesus. I know you. I also want to show you how each encounter with God is so different one from the other. And you say, how is it? The first time that the Lord actually appeared to Jacob in the twilight hours, in the I see you and I don't see you hours, the Lord was wrestling with Jacob. Jacob was wrestling with the Lord. The second time the Lord appeared to Jacob in the not twilight hours, but in the daylight hours, it was like, hi, my friend, the battle is over. God won. There was full surrender. God had worked out what he'd said to him with Esau. He had spared him and all his family. All his words had come true to him, and God came to him in peace. That is why, and I'm going to jump to the end of it now, leaving everything in between out for another session, but that is why he poured out a drink offering unto the Lord, which normally was wine. He was the first one. It's the first time on record a drink offering was ever mentioned. A drink offering, if it poured out, do you remember David poured it out? Well, I don't want to really go into it now, but it's something that you're not drinking. It's not your drink offering. It's a drink offering for someone else. You're pouring out something for someone else to drink. And the whole object of that offering on the altar that he had raised before God was thankfulness. He was thanking God for everything that had happened since the twilight encounter to this moment. He was thanking God. He was pouring out of all his goods. Also, he had promised the Lord and made a vow that he would give him the tenth of all that he had given him. So I am sure it was either very fragrant oil with a lot of value, and it was wine that was very high priced. You know that there's wines that are several thousand dollars a bottle. Whatever it was, it had the value of the 10% that he poured out to the Lord, because he kept his vow before the Lord. And that's always very important. But when he had this encounter with God, there was that gratefulness. That's why this morning's service, we began with gratefulness. The service, the Lord was here in just a jiffy, I would say. I mean, he was just here in a minute. Why? Because he loves grateful hearts. If there's something that pushes his spirit away, it's ungratefulness. Complaining, gripe, bringing up to him all the things he hasn't done. This was when Jacob was wrestling with God in the twilight. So this is what was going on. God, you're forcing me to go back to see my brother. He wants to kill me. This is the end of me. You know, I know you promised that I would go back in peace, but this time he had built the altar of putting God first, and he was just saying, I just want to thank you for working this thing out with my brother. I want to thank you for sparing our life. I want to thank you for being my God, the God of my grandfather. I want to thank you for choosing me over anyone else in my family. I want to thank you for taking the least and making it the first. And as he poured these offerings out to his God, the Lord God had appeared to him in such glory, in such presence, so overcome him that he could do nothing more than just be grateful and pour out what he'd vowed to the Lord to him. I think sometimes we don't make our offering giving as precious as it could really be. Because when you bring it to the Lord, it's the pouring out of your life. It's the pouring out of all those hours in your life that you dedicated and devoted to someone other than yourself, the one who gave you everything that he promised to give you. And next time we'll go on with the revelation of God to him again. But I just want to touch on it today for just a second as we close and say that when God appeared to Jacob, he said, I am God Almighty. That's the God that had appeared to his grandfather and his father and said, I am your provider. The word is El Shad. The word Shad is breast, the one that can provide and nourish and provide for you everything you need. So God said, I am your nourisher. I am your provider. I am the one that's going to make sure that everything is the way you need it. You need for the Lord to appear to you and speak his name into you. I am your God, El Shaddai. I am your God, the mighty one. The one that will provide for you your clothing, your food, your work, your career, your profession. The one that will give you to be what you were born to be in this earth and to be a blessing. God will appear. And when he does, he manifests that to us. Listen here. God had appeared to Abraham this way, and he appeared Isaac this way and gave him that name, and now to Jacob and gave him that name. It didn't stop with Jacob, because what God spoke to him, he spoke over every child that would be born out of his seed, spiritually and naturally. It was natural up to Jesus. He was the last natural seed of Jacob. After that, it became spiritual. That's why the land of Israel cannot come to God on the basis of having natural genetics that came from Abraham, nor from Jesus, because he had no natural children. The line was finished in Jesus. That's why he couldn't get married, couldn't have children, because it would have perpetuated the natural line. The natural line now ended in Christ, and the Jews and Gentiles alike are brought in by adoption into the family of God by faith. All whom he has put his spirit in. Aren't you glad that today we belong to that wonderful family? And God appeared to Jacob.